This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Grace Marie Turner. She's the president of the Galen Institute, one of the leading healthcare policy organizations in the country. She's been a guest of ours at many different points in this critical debate over the changes in America's healthcare laws. She's also the principal author of the new book, Why Obamacare is Wrong for America. We want to get her thoughts today on the stunning survey published by MarketWatch earlier in the week, which discussed that 30% of American businesses are planning to drop coverage for their employees given the implementation of Obamacare, and a full 50 to 60% may actually have to change their policies in one way or another. And obviously a big chunk of those would be the ones to drop it altogether. We also want to get her thoughts on the appellate court hearings of the major challenge to the president's health care plan leveled by 26 states and a district judge in Florida strongly agreeing with those states in his district court decision. And Grace Marie, it's good to have you with us.
Nice to be with you, as always, Greg. Thank you.
Let's start with, first of all, Wednesday's arguments in court in the federal appeals level in Atlanta. Obviously, there's a couple of different tracks that this is running along. We saw the federal appeals court dealing with some of the Virginia decisions a couple of weeks ago. Now we're seeing the one, of course, which probably carries a little more weight since over half the states are on board here, and the district court judge wrote a very thorough, very blistering decision, which not only throughout the individual mandate, but the entire law as a result of that. So what are you going to be looking for in these arguments and obviously in the decision?
Well, and this really, you're exactly right. This is a big case because Judge Roger Vinson did declare not only that the individual mandate, which is what's at issue, is unconstitutional, but also that the whole law is, because the government argues that it's the center pole and the tent, that the whole thing doesn't hold together unless you have the individual mandate. And it's very interesting because two of the three judges were appointed by President Clinton and one by President Bush, but yet all of the judges in the decisions today seemed really skeptical about whether or not the federal government can order people to purchase a private product when they are deciding to do nothing. Their questioning indicated that they think that it's really a stretch to use the Commerce Clause of the Constitution to mandate that they buy this private product. And this is not just some frivolous little something you're going to buy once. This is $20,000 a year for a family. They're going to be compelled by the federal government to spend this money on a private product that they might not otherwise choose to buy. Yes, everybody needs health insurance, but we're going to see this insurance be so expensive and so comprehensive that I just think that the courts and the American people and the Congress are going to rebel. And this is really, this is the linchpin. This is the huge overreach of federal authority to tell us that we must become subjects, really, to the federal government and spend our private money the way the government tells us to because of its agenda. And then we think, well, where does that end? And a number of the judges have been saying, then are they going to tell us we all have to join exercise spas, we all have to eat broccoli? What are they going to then do? And that's one of the lines of questioning today in the 11th Circuit Court, was the appeals court, is if they can require you to purchase health insurance, where does it end? Where does this slippery slope stop? I am so hoping that the court recognizes that Judge Vinson was correct in deciding that not only is the individual mandate unconstitutional, but therefore the whole law is.
And Grace Marie, you've obviously been active in this debate for a number of years. As you look at the two options for those opposed to this legislation, these new laws, and you're certainly one of them, our regular listeners will know that, which do you feel more confident is more likely to lead to the end of this? Is it going to be the legal path, or do you suspect that the more likely scenario is kind of a perfect storm on Election Day next year?
I really think that something this large, it's really going to be a collection of all three of them. I think that the Supreme Court is very likely to take this up, and most court observers believe that a decision will come down in June of 2012. So just about a year from now, this will have worked its way up to the Supreme Court, and we'll have a decision there. It's going to be a 5-4 decision, and we don't know which way that 5-4 decision goes. But if they were, for example, to declare the individual mandate unconstitutional but leave the rest of the law standing, then you have to figure out what on earth is Congress going to do with this mess that they have left. And then I think it becomes a very political conversation, as it will anyway. Whether this is, whether all or part of it is declared unconstitutional, I think it's going to continue to be an issue in the 2012 presidential election. If the court upholds it, then whoever is sitting in the White House on January the 21st of 2013 is either going to sign or veto legislation that Congress once again passes. As we know, the House has passed legislation to repeal Obamacare. The Senate did not. If Republicans were to take control of the Senate, I believe that they would also pass legislation to repeal it. Then it depends on who's in the White House on January 21st of 2013, whether or not this law stands. And that means that it really is a political decision. The American people are going to have to decide next November which way they want to go.
And Grace Marie, just a couple of quick issues before we let you go. First of all, this report, which we've discussed ourselves a number of times this week, and that's this issue within the MarketWatch report about 30% of employers looking to probably scrap their coverage because it's more cost-effective for them to not even offer it anymore and just offer higher salaries and more benefits and not deal with the headaches. How big of an issue do you think that'll be in the political outcome?
Yes, huge, huge. And actually, the MarketWatch report was based upon a new study out by McKinsey and Company. And I have a piece in today's Wall Street Journal about this, saying that I believe as many as 78 million Americans are going to be forced to find other sources of coverage based upon this survey. McKinsey surveyed about 1,300 employers across a wide range of industries, parts of the country, employer sizes, and they found that not just a third of them, but really 45 to 50% of them are either definitely or seriously considering getting out of the business of providing health insurance and providing other options. Could be a defined contribution, basically grossing up salary and saying, here's the money, go buy health insurance. But they are scared to death of this mandate. And frankly, I think that it is a real deterrent in creating jobs. I mean, employers are scared to death when they look at these mandates and what they're facing, and they're thinking, oh, my goodness, I can't afford to hire new employees, particularly entry-level employees, if I'm facing a $20,000 a year cost for a family health insurance policy that I'm going to be required to pay for. So you see, so many impacts. And I think that people start to realize that as a result of Obamacare, they are going to lose the coverage they have now after the in repeated assertions by the president that if you like your coverage, you'll be able to keep it. If you like your doctor, you'll be able to keep it. That is not true. 78 million Americans can certainly turn an election if they see that their health insurance at work is threatened. And I think that's just one more of those pivot points in which this is going to be, this is not settled policy, in which it's going to continue to be a huge issue, both in the courts and the politics, the elections, and ultimately in the legislature, in the new Congress.
Last question very quickly, Grace Marie. One of the things we've seen apparently in the wake of the appellate court hearing on the Virginia law and so forth is that the judges on that panel seem to be asking for more information related to the tax implications of this, suggesting that no one can have standing on this until after it's taken effect and they don't pay the fine for not getting their mandated health insurance. What's the impact if that is the way
this goes? I know, it's so interesting. I think that they're trying to make this a tax, even though they repeatedly in the debate and nowhere in the legislation is the mandate called a tax. It's a fine. But if they were to decide, yes, it really is a tax, then no one would have standing until someone pays that tax, which would be in April of 2015. And by that time, all of the machinery of Obamacare will have been put into place, and the health sector and employers would have organized themselves around this law. So they're basically saying that if we have to wait to determine whether or not the mandate is a tax, that would mean that basically we have Obamacare by default, and that, again, means that it becomes a political question, Greg, just as you were suggesting earlier.
Grace Marie, so many different things to keep track of here. Thank you so much for helping us understand it all
better.
Always
a pleasure. Thank you.
Grace Marie Turner is president of the Galen Institute, one of the leading healthcare policy organizations in the country. She's also the principal author of Why Obamacare is Wrong for America. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.